Well, just as I had predicted, it is the news, according to me. Good morning. What a morning it is. It is Thursday already, November 7th, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I got in about 2:30 in the morning last night. I had to come home. I would have normally stayed in Chicago last night. That would have been a normal thing to do last night. But no, I can't do what's normal. I have to come home. I have a pretty serious voiceover project. Well, it's not that serious. It's a voiceover project that I need to do. And it's one of those things where they said they were going to have the scripts for me next week, which would have been fine. Monday, I would have been able to get everything done. I'd do things on my days off. It's normally when I do things like that, and it's this deal, all of a sudden the scripts came through, and he was like, oh, come get these tomorrow, we gotta get these tomorrow. So in order to placate, in order to serve my clients, I drove through the middle of the night to come home. Now I'm going to have morning voice, radio announcer voice, okay? This isn't so much radio announcer voice, this is just more dramatic voice. It's my morning time thing. So I'm doing the show first, hoping to kind of warm up my voice a little bit so that I'm not so, because I'm supposed to be kind of a friendly sounding voice. This sounds more like 2 minutes and counting kind of thing. That's kind of the villain voice. The Bond villain. So we'll see how it goes. But in my cup here to help wash away some of my crusty voice stuff is the, of course, the staple creamy chai with vanilla, or with, but it's vanilla chai. With, what's it called? It says, Almond Joy Creamer. In my backup cup, I've got some pretty much watered down now. I've added ice to this stuff too much, I think. It's just kind of, now it's just like peach flavored water. It's not even really peachy very much anymore. It's sweet tea. It's still good. Still drink it, but it's now I've got cat issues. I got the ornery cat down here with my dog. Ornery cat keeps trying to jump up on my desk. He wants to get behind the computer. He wants to go all over the place. The other one just kind of wants to be petted. She doesn't care. She gets up in my face because she wants to be petted. This one, he's looking for something. He's looking to cause trouble. He's hiding around the corner here. Now he's gonna try to antagonize the dog. Dog is here beside me, wondering what's going on. He has figured out that there's differences in these cats. There's one of them likes him. He doesn't mind him. The other one's a nuisance. Anyway, onward and upward. There's a lot of things going on. Mainly, of course, the left is melting down. And they started off with the blame game. Of course, it's all racism. It's all, you know, this. They didn't vote for her because she's a black woman. Well, that doesn't explain why, you know, more black men voted for her. They just say, well, the black men didn't vote for her because she's a woman. And the white men didn't vote for her because she's black. And women didn't vote. The fact women didn't turn out for Kamala. The woman vote did not come out like they thought it would. Of course, that's because they're racist. See how that works? They're not misogynist because they're women, so they have to be racist. The black men didn't vote. I think most people didn't vote for her because she's just not a good candidate. This happened to Hillary, too. Well, they didn't vote for her because they're all misogynists. They're just kind of, all this country is just racist and misogynist. Really, because we voted for Barack Obama, who was claiming to be black for eight years, two elections, won overwhelmingly. People were just all excited about having a black president, didn't care. And then, of course, they got him, and they realized this is not what we wanted. And after 8 years of that, the population that he represented, which he should be representing all the population, but that's beside the point. It's an office. It's not a skin color you fit into. He's literally crawling up the walls. And Not Obama, the cat. I'm talking about the cat. That's why the community has been kind of awakened to this idea that, hey, just because Democrats put somebody up there that's my skin color, they didn't do me any good. Trump did me more good than Obama did. They've seen the contrast. They've seen what the reality of this whole thing. And they're coming around to it. They realize that being a Republican was a principle thing. It was an ideology you were voting for. It wasn't a skin color. And unfortunately, that is the case with the Democrats, of course. You're voting for an ideology. The ideology on the right, I think they've lost. The establishment Republicans have lost their way. They don't care. They're just the other party. We're not them. The Democrats actually, and that's maybe not on their surface. This word's where it's really bizarre, because there's like this diametrically opposed thing going on here. We got Republicans who really don't, deep down, they don't really have an ideology they work on. They just work on, we want to be the party that, the opposite party, the party that holds back, the party that tries to slow the thing down. We'll make the compromises, but we want to work together. But we really don't know deep down underneath, we don't know what we believe in, what we really stand for. Well, that's unusual. I have a compressor down here in the basement I use for things occasionally. And I apparently left it on. I unplugged the hose and turned the air pressure down and all that stuff to zero. And I just totally forgot to shut it off. And apparently it kicked on. That got rid of the cat. For a little while, we'll see what happens with that. Dog's still here. Sorry for that noise. Sorry for that outburst of noise. It kind of scared the daylights out of me. I wasn't sure what was going on there. I thought the cat did something, actually. So we have this issue where we have the Republicans. They pretend like they have some kind of moral principle, some kind of ideological principles, foundations, being conservative, being small government, individual liberties, certain standards that they uphold, constitutional foundations, fundamental foundations, originalists. And constructionists. The Democrats pretend like they're the party of centrism, of democracy, all these things on the surface that they pretend to be, but they actually have an ideology that's running rampant through their ranks, and there's very, very few of the Democrats in office right now, especially in Congress, in the House anyway, are what I would call traditional Democrats. There's very few of them. Most of them have converted over to, they're like, this Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party I grew up with. And they've left. Some of them become Republicans. Tulsi Gabbard, for example. The most recent one. They can't do it anymore. And they'll go along with some of the wokeness to some degree. Okay, we got to respect people. We got to do this. But then it goes off the cliff and they realize this is going nowhere, because it becomes a Marxist, which leads into fascism. The BLM group, for instance, what a fascist actually is, and this is where it gets down to the brass tacks of, now you can look up the word fascism. They always say right wing, extreme right wing, whatever. That's not the case. The BLM movement was a fascist movement, and here's the reason why. When you have a group of people, when anybody forces you as an individual, remember, Colin Kaepernick was not forced to sing the national anthem, to put his hand on his heart or do anything else. He had the freedom to kneel down during the national anthem. Okay, to bend a knee in protest. Okay, whatever. Well, if your employer, now you got an issue over your employer. Now you've got a contract with that individual, another entity that you have a contract with? What is your agreement with them? What you will do during your work period? You're free to do whatever you want. But they may be free to fire you because of that. They're not taking away your right. You gave up your right when you made an agreement. You know, I have a right to keep my money in a bank. When I make an agreement with the cell phone company that I'm going to use their services, they have a right to my money now because I need to pay them for that service. Oh, you have no right to come get my money out of my bank. Well, you need to pay your bill. You don't get. Oh, you're racist. So that it's. So the BLM movement, they were marching down the streets. They would approach people of a certain skin color and tell them, say, Black Lives Matter. If you didn't say it, they'd beat the daylights out of you. That is fascism. It's oppression. It is my way or the highway. It is we are the morally right, and you will follow us, and you will bow down and obey us. Because we are the ones who are right. You're correct. We are the moral high ground. This happens far, far too often. But nobody recognizes it as that. That they say, oh, the Trump's the fascist. He's the fascist. They don't even know what fascism is. Here's an example of someone who, let's see if I can find this real quick. This is one of the greatest leaders of our time. She will go down in history as being one of the most incredible leaders of our society. And here's a fine example of what an awesome leader really is. We're just going to see what happens here. This is courtesy of Memeology. Was it Memeology 101? I think, yeah, Memeology 101. Here she is. This is making her debut.
We are about to enter a political period that will have consequences for the rest of our lives. We cannot give up. We now find ourselves in a time in history that has precedent, and we find ourselves, I believe, in a time where there are, let's say, peers in history of mass movements of people that mobilize to protect one another
in
times of fascism.
Peers in history.
And authoritarianism. And this is the era that we are poised to enter. Donald Trump has talked about turning the military on U.S. citizens that he deems his domestic political enemies. Authoritarians and people that he affiliates closely with and strongmen abroad in regimes like that, it is not uncommon to jail political dissidents or legislative opponents.
Oh, like Trump. Like trying to jail Trump.
This is the world that we very realistically may be entering.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to jail your political opponents. Everybody around Trump, how many people around Trump who are in his administration or a part of his supporters, how many of them were jailed after he left office? How many of these people who were attacking Trump would have loved to have seen him jailed? How many of them would have loved to see him shot and killed? How many of them were disappointed when he wasn't killed in that assassination attempt when a bullet hit his ear? Oh, but we're entering a dark time of fascism under this president. He's going to jail his political opponents. Well, for how many years now have we heard? For 4 years? 5 years? 6 years?
No one is above the law. No one is above the law. Oh, except for me. I'm above the law. You can't arrest me, because that would be political.
You broke the law. So you're not above the law?
Well, no, because I'm not Donald Trump. Donald Trump should go to jail because he's Donald Trump.
You still have people today. They're still going nuts. I'd like to play tomorrow, if I have a chance tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it's going to be Monday. Joe Scarborough, again, goes on this stupid rant. He has had two of them this week. One of them was election. I think it was election day or day before election. Who are these people? I didn't grow up with these people. Where did these people come from? These people weren't the people I grew up with. They're okay with him saying that he's going to put Liz Cheney, that's the head of the committee she headed up or whatever. He's going to put her in front of a firing squad and blah, 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 blah. And just keep on with the same rhetoric, the same lies that everybody knows he didn't. And even people who challenge him, they said, he didn't say that. He didn't say that.
Well, everybody says he didn't say that, but then I show them the quotes and they're like, well, he didn't mean that.
Well, it's because you take the quote that you show them, the clips that you show, don't show the whole context of anything he says.
Well, it's going to be a bloodbath. He says it's going to be a bloodbath if he loses.
Yeah, and the auto industry is going to be a bloodbath. Because China's coming into Mexico and they're going to sell those cars. They're going to sell cars from Mexico. They're going to decimate our auto industry because guess what? Our auto industry is run by the unions, and the unions have overinflated. Well, I wouldn't say overinflated, but just they're not about production. They don't understand. I'm all for unions if they're providing safety for the workers, if they're actually negotiating a good contract and they work with the company and they understand business. They do not. All they understand is themselves. This is another. You know, unions had their day. Unions had their purpose in a time. In some industries, they actually still kind of do some good things. For the most part, there are good enough work rules under OSHA and everything else that's out there, the workforce development, everything else that's like we have a labor relations board in Indiana, and it's, I guarantee you, I'm better off with that than I am with a union. You threatened to take an employer to the labor relations board. I had an issue where I was, and I should have done it. I should have just done it. I probably still could, but I had a part-time job a while back. 15 hours a week, and it was supposed to be a salary position, 15 hours a week, based on X amount of dollars. You know, it was volunteer. The only reason I wouldn't have taken them to task on it was because they were a volunteer organization, or that, not a volunteer organization, but they were a nonprofit organization, supposedly, with a budget of about $14,000 a week. That's $2,000 a day. In case you didn't know, or that most of that was going to a payment on the property. They had a lot of overhead, though, but it's still there. So they had me working 15 hours a week. Well, I didn't know this at the time, but they said, all they told me was, now, you know, everybody that works a salaried position like that, normally they work, you know, they always put in more than 15 hours. They always put in more than their bottom line. If you're expected to work 15 hours for that salary, then you normally will put in more than 15 hours. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Typically that is the way it works. If you're being paid on a 40 hour basis or the 38 or whatever it is, the minimum is, if you do any overtime, if you have a full-time job and you get a full-time salary, if you put in any overtime, typically you don't make anything extra because typically you can also not work 38 hours and still get a full-time salary. So it's one of those things where you have some flexibility in your work schedule. Well, I was in a part-time position. It was not a full-time position. I didn't know this at the time. But if you are in a part-time position on a salary job and you work overtime, they are obligated to pay you overtime. Not necessarily time and a half, but straight time. They did not. And there were times I put in 40 and 50 hours in a week instead of 15. And I'm sure they were doing that with other employees as well, because there were a lot of part-timers there. Now, the money didn't really mean anything to me at the time, and it didn't really matter to me. I was all down for the cause. But looking back on it, you know, the cause should have been protecting anybody else that came after me and those who were there at that time. They were breaking the law. I guarantee if I'd have called the Labor Relations Board, I didn't have to have a union. They would have come down on them so hard. They probably would have lost their charitable donation status. It was going to be that serious. I'm sure they would have had to back pay everybody to get out of that. And you're probably talking about $100,000 at least for, you know, everybody that they had records on. Not just me, but probably only owed me, you know, $10,000. No, probably not that much. But the Democrats have no, they on the surface, they have this imaginary thing going on. But underneath, they are a Marxist collectivist, we'll just call it collectivism, fascist mentality. End justifies the means. We have an agenda. We're progressing toward it. They have a 100-year plan. They don't care how long it takes. They just want to continue to move down this road to collectivism, to despotism. We eventually will become an oligarchy. That's just kind of the way it works. Now, there are some oligarchies that work. You know, Russia has elections. And as I think it was actually Putin that said this. Either him that said it or he quoted it from somebody. It's not the people who vote that count. It's the people who count the votes. And that's exactly what we're turning into in this country. And you have this big money. Don't think for a minute that the Democrats are for the little guy anymore. And I think that's what Trump is about. They even call him a populist nationalist. Well, that's a populist means he's connected to the people, the little guy, the average American, the average person here. And a nationalist means he's about our country, about doing something for the country. So white Christian nationalist. So I start tagging all this other stuff onto the nationalist part. Well, he's white and he's, you know, claims to be Christian. He's got more of a Christian faith. That's where he aligns more of his beliefs, I guess. And it's, yeah. These same people who are saying that, oh, they didn't vote for her because she's black. We all know. Now, I think this would have been a totally different race had it been Michelle Obama, who is 100% African-American. Well, as much as anybody can be. Even more so than Barack. Could have been her. And I guarantee you, it would have been a very different story. But I think. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm sure she wouldn't have been as bad as Kamala. This woman, the reason I played this thing about with AOC is that this is supposedly one of the greatest leaders of our time. She's an up and coming star on the leftist side of the spectrum. Brilliant mind, brilliant. Comes out and makes a historic speech on TikTok or whatever that was. I don't know what that was. This is what we're dealing with, folks. This is the kind of. But as I said, I've day after the election. I was telling, you know, this, the thing I was saying was they're going to start the blame game. And they started to blame. First, they're going to blame everybody left and right, whatever, you know, they're going to blame all the misogyny, the racism, you know, all this stuff. Joy Reid's head's popping off with all her stuff. And the other thing that's going to happen here is that they're going to start blaming each other. They're not going to put the blame on the candidate who ran a terrible campaign, any of her surrogates who were, you know, behind the scenes running things and coming up with all kinds of plans, on the Democrat Party itself. I'm not going to blame that. Now, there are some people who are, people like Bill Maher and some of those others that are kind of more, a little bit more independent out there, who are still leftists and still collectivists and still wackos. But they're recognizing it. Cenk Uygur is even recognizing it. The Democrat Party is the problem here. They put a candidate out that nobody voted for. They didn't vote to put her in. Now, the concern is that they're Jamie Raskin and Dan Goldman are the two, the ones that are spearheading this whole thing. They're going to try, and I've tried to explain this to people. It's hard to explain how this is going to work. Prior to, now, see, we're down to a point where they could, there's a potential, the thing that's holding them back, the thing that's really causing them, and they have to let this settle down a little bit. And they have to get their, okay, here's what's happening. It's kind of complicated. So bear with me as I explain to you what's going on here. And this is more of a spiritual thing than it is anything really underlying all this stuff. They realized they got shellacked on Tuesday. He won the popular vote. Now, surprisingly, and I guess I thought there was like 20 million fewer votes for Kamala than there were for Barack or for Biden in 2020. Where'd those people go? What happened to all the people who voted in 2020? What happened to that landslide? Where'd they all go? Maybe they never existed. Maybe Bill Barr should look into that. I mean, you could, early voting, the lines were backed up 3 hours in most places. Early voting. Election day, lines were backed up 3 hours. They still had voting anomalies in many places where there was, if you voted straight line Republican, oh, guess what? All of a sudden, it was straight line Democrat. It was happening all over the country, mostly in the places where they went in and had to re-up. After they were certified, they had to go back. Oh, we had to go back into this thumb drive and redo some of these passwords. We had to redo some of this firmware. Had a problem, so we had to redo the firmware. We had to redo that to make sure the integrity's there. We're going to have somebody watching the whole process. Three people are going to be involved in this so that we can watch the thumb drive. You can't watch data going through a thumb drive. Oh, yeah, so they plug the thumb drive in. We're all watching it, and they're putting in this thing, and they just do this thing, and they download this firmware. Okay, so we're all watching it. We don't know what we're looking at. We have no idea what's on the thumb drive. But they still lost. There were finding areas where there was actually voter registration anomalies and all kinds of weird things. But it doesn't matter. At this point, it matters, but it's at the same time, even in spite of all that, he still won and won the popular vote. I think the whole thing turned out to be, it looks like he's going to, he's got it locked to over 300 delegates. So what's going to happen now? So the overwhelming wave, this punch in the gut, has just kind of happened to them. They realize we can't say much right now. They're afraid to say much right now because they realize they are very unpopular. So they're kind of stammering on their feet right now. What's going to happen is over the course of the next couple of weeks, as they start to gather their thoughts, they start to regroup, realign. They start to build their confidence. Right now, their confidence is very low. So they're going to build their confidence back up by telling each other lies again, like they did before the election. Convincing themselves that they're on the right side and that this guy is a fascist. He's, anything he says from here on, and he can say, oh, look, the sky is blue. He's going to go after the sky. He's going to repaint the sky orange. Well, sometimes it is orange at night. It's a sunset. So he says he wants to be painted orange because he's orange. He wants to be, the sky's going to be painted just like his color so he can blend into the sky. Now, whatever they're going to say, that's just like Hitler. Hitler did that. So they're gonna try this. They're gonna come back and they're gonna make the guy out to be a villain again. The news media will gather their thoughts and gather their talking points, and they're gonna go, here's how we need to attack the guy. And they're gonna convince themselves that the American people are on board with them and that they're right and that they're the ones guiding the collective thought. And they're gonna forget that this guy is incredibly popular. About a month from now, maybe less. You're going to see it boiling up the next week or two. And then what they're going to get into, they're going to get this whole thing. By January 6th, you will see people protesting the vote. You may even see people storming the Capitol. See, they have people that they pay to do these kinds of things. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the people who were involved in January 6th were paid. I'm sure that some of them were. Many of them were what do they call them? Confidential sources. They don't work directly for the FBI, but they are contracted with the FBI. Not on the payroll, but they're contracted. They're a side contractor. In other words, they're getting paid, but they're not on the payroll. I won't mention any names. Let's just say he's on video saying, we need to go into the Capitol. People like that. So that's what's going to happen. By January 6th, they're going to protest it. In fact, by January 6th, they're going to try to convict him of things that happened on January 6th in 2021. They're going to go after him for that. And what that amounts to is they want to officially get him tagged to, they keep saying he incited an insurrection. He sent an armed group of people down to attack the Capitol. None of that's true. He's never been found guilty of inciting an insurrection. The January 6th commission was not even a legitimate legal commission. It wasn't a court. There's only one side presented there. Most of the people were lying. So as all this goes on, they're going to continue to try to say that he's guilty of an insurrection, and that therefore, under whatever amendment it is, whatever legal thing, they're going to say he's disqualified and not qualified. See, if he would have lost the popular vote and just barely won, this is where I think their heads are spinning right now, because they really had expected to confront. If he would have barely won, they were going to confront it. They were going to go after it. They were going to try to. Oh, we can still bring in these other votes. We got these other votes out there. Oh, look, we found some in the trunk of a car. Whatever it was that they could get away with. They can't get away with this time. There's no way. It's overwhelming. So that they've kind of played that card. In order to get that done, to flip the election based on that right now, or to even have any leverage, credibility, right now, because he was so overwhelmingly popular, it'd be very difficult for them to do that right now. So they have to wait for everything to settle down a little bit. Oh, we're going to blame Peanut the Squirrel. We're going to blame Joe Biden for saying what he said, about garbage. Whatever it is, whatever the comments are, whatever they say, they're going to start eating their own. I believe that the Biden administration, Biden himself, but the people who are working by the Biden administration, who knew that they were going to be out of a job if Kamala got in. So there's a whole lot of people that Biden represents, a lot of people who are on the payroll, who would not be on the payroll if Biden gets out of office. I think they're all smirking now, saying you get what you deserve. It'll be interesting to see what Corinne Jean-Pierre, Jean-Claude Gabriel, has to say here in the next couple of days with the press briefings that we're going to get. I think she's going to be doing the press briefings today. But, Kamala finally came out yesterday and made this speech about, another word salad. her political career, basically my opinion, her political career is gone. Her's done. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't think she's going to come back from this. She will be known as the candidate who lost to the Hitler. She will never be blamed publicly for it, of course. So we'll see what happens. There's going to be some interesting things happen. In the meantime, January 6th is our next big thing that we have to overcome. We have to actually get the delegates counted by none other than the vice president, Kamala Harris. Now, see, the Democrats are going to think, well, if we can disqualify Trump, then we can put Kamala in. No, that doesn't work that way because the Republican Party won with their candidates, so they get to choose. And they'll probably put JD in there. Who knows what they'll put in there. But I guarantee you it's not just going to be look who the president's going to be now. We're going to put Nikki Haley in there. It's not going to happen that way. Democrats really, in my opinion, really, really messed up with the process that they used to put Kamala in. If they had put anybody else in, I think Gavin Newsom now is upset because now it's going to be at least another 4 years before he can run again for president. Probably, and if things go well in those next 4 years, the Republicans are going to be, JD is probably going to be the next president. So in the meantime, since Kamala, I think part of her retirement package for doing what she did, for stepping up and being, I think still between now and January 20th, I believe they're going to try to have Joe Biden step down. I don't think that Donald Trump is going to be 47. I think he's going to be 48. They're going to try to take the guy out between now and then, between now and January 20th. I guarantee you that. Now, if they can't get it done, if they can't get him disqualified and then do something different on January 6th, I think they're going to have a hard time rallying support among the Democrat Party because they know that that's going to be the death knell. That's going to be they're falling on their sword doing that. They know that the people will not be happy with that. That'll be the last thing they ever do politically because people won't. However, if they are able to pull that off, then they can pull off anything every year. Then it won't matter what the people think anymore. That's when they get the brass monkey kind of thing. They get the old brass ring, I should say, brass monkey, brass ring, and they got a firm grip on it. And they got it, they got full control of it. So we'll see what happens with this whole thing. But guarantee, mark my word, they will get themselves back on their footing. They'll get their talking points, their morning calls. They'll say, okay, this is the talking points we need to do. This is what's making. They're going to do the same old thing. Same thing that got them to this situation to begin with. Yeah, we need to call him a Nazi. We need to call him this. All these things they talk about behind the scenes, these are the buzzwords we're going to use. We're on to them now. I think, probably my listeners have been on to them for a while, but I think there's a larger majority of the population that's kind of on to this whole thing of, hey, these guys are feeding us with crap here. They're keeping us in the dark and like they think we're mushrooms. So we'll see what happens, how this all plays out, but I guarantee you this is what's going on. This is the playbook behind the scenes of what's happening. And I guarantee you day one, January 21st, they will submit articles of impeachment of Donald Trump. We're going to have that. Now, looks like they've taken back the Senate. The Republicans have taken the Senate. It looks like they're going to get at least 18 seats in the House, maybe more. I think there was one estimate they were going to get over 20, which they need. They really need that, especially to be, let's call it MAGA friendly or, Trump agenda friendly. This Agenda 2025 thing that they keep pushing that. Oh, Agenda 2025. That's not his thing. They keep talking about abortion rights and all. Oh my! I lost my rights today. Oh, these men have their rights now. I don't have rights anymore. What? What rights have you lost? It's just the ridiculousness is off the shelf, and it's just. And what concerns me is that how much of a frenzy they work themselves up. There's people melting down online. Who puts themselves online melting down with this? Oh, this is terrible! Oh, somebody fix this! What is up with that? Why would you do that? This is nothing but self-aggrandizing, virtue signaling, whatever you want to call it. There's this false sense of passion for our nation and passion for women and all this crap. That's not it at all. I heard an interesting thing the other day. It's kind of, I'm going to close with this because I got to get going. But interesting thing. If you, I don't know if you know who your grandmother was, or if you've met your grandmother, if you know your grandmother, maybe she's still part of your life now. Your grandmother actually carried you inside her body at one point. Your grandmother on your mother's side, I should say. All of the eggs that a woman has, she's born with. So before she's born, she's in the womb. Her mother is carrying her with her eggs. And one of those eggs became you. So your connection with your grandmother is on your mother's side is much deeper than you realize. Now, if you want to, you can just say, well, it's just scientific or whatever. I think it's more than that. There's more going on there than that. And for a woman who cares about women's rights, I just don't understand why someone wants to fight for their, I'm concerned about my daughter growing up in this society where she's not going to have the right to abort my grandchildren. I don't understand that at all. If you think about that, if you're a grandmother today, your daughter's children, you carried them for a short period of time. That's a pretty amazing thing, actually. And yeah, pretty cool. So tomorrow, hopefully I have a chance to do a show tomorrow. It's going to be a little bit difficult. I'm going to be hopefully on pretty early at my job. And I've got a lot going on tomorrow night. It's going to be a very busy, busy day. If I am able to do a show, it'll probably be from in my car. Or from some undisclosed location. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Who knows where I could be tomorrow. But at the same time, in the meantime, I do have quite a bit to do today as well. But I'm going to try to put together this whole thing with the Scarborough thing. And I will try to make that happen. So you can hear his... I think he had two different rants. And both of them were just ridiculous. Cogent! Just as bad as the Cogent thing. Folks, have a great day. God bless. Take care of yourself. See ya.